Well, we're going on a journey, obviously. And all teasing aside, did you ever conceive that we need ears to hear, eyes to see, and a spirit to perceive God's plan for me? Try it on. Say, I need eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive God's plan for me. Amen? Before I go into the word, I want to talk to you about your imagination. So I want you to close your eyes right now, and I want you to see yourself as a baby pumpkin. A baby pumpkin. Just a little one, you know, maybe about 4 inches in diameter. Got hooked onto the vine. And let's say you decide that you're just going to pull yourself away and you're not going to stay connected. But then there's this wonderful, huge pumpkin that starts talking to you and says, if you would just stay hooked on, you'd grow up like me. And you could become a great pumpkin. And now all the other pumpkins are chit-chattering around and saying, who does he think he is? And they start crabbing at him. Well, if we're going to grow up and look like that and not talk like that, he must be filled with demons. He really can't be one of us. How could he be one of us? We expected an incredible, supernatural pumpkin. And now we got one of these big pumpkins that don't make sense. Does that sound like people? Does it sound like people who aren't happy? Does it sound as though that these baby pumpkins had a theology all their own that didn't make any sense? But it did in John chapter 10. He wasn't the great pumpkin. He was the good shepherd. Verse 1. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, he who does not enter in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, elsewhere from some other quarter, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door, by the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. So is he talking about himself? Yes. The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never, on any account, follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger or recognize their call. Jesus used this parable as illustration with them, but they did not understand what he was talking about. So Jesus said again, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you that I myself am the door for the sheep. All others who came as such before me are thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen and obey them. I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live, he will come in, and he will go out freely and will find pasture. The thief comes only in order that he may steal and may kill and may destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. Ah. He what? He lays down his own life for the sheep. Keep that in mind. But the hired servant, he who merely serves for wages, who is neither the shepherd nor the owner of the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, deserts the flock and runs away, and the wolf chases and snatches them and scatters the flock. Now, the hireling flees because he merely serves for wages and is not himself concerned about the sheep, cares nothing for them. I am the good shepherd. I know and recognize my own, and my own recognize me. Wow. Why is that important? Because he recognizes those that were with him in the heavens before the world began. Chosen by the Father to be part of the corporate Christ. Recognize my own. And my own know and recognize me. Did you ever wonder why sometimes you are so assured in your walk with God and someone else is listening and they may call themselves a Christian, but you know they're on a completely different page and they are not connected and don't want to be? Do I get any hands up? They just don't want to be. Why? The answer is right there. Even as truly as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I am giving my very own life and laying it down on behalf of the sheep. You say, what has that got to do with apples or pumpkins? A lot. It has a lot to do with pumpkins. Because pumpkins don't want a chief super pumpkin to be their leader. They want to do their own thing. Humanity did not want a God that would take and be like them. When Jesus told them that he was the Son of God, which we can look at later, they called him a demon. Why? Because God wasn't supposed to be a man. He wasn't supposed to show up like a man. All these little pumpkins see this super duper pumpkin and they don't want to accept him or her as part of the human race. They want a God that they can admire and love, but that doesn't look like one of them. I want to take you just briefly, John 10, verse 11 through 17, all say that Jesus laid down in death his life, his psuche, not his zoe, for us. Isaiah 53:10 says that his soul, nephesh in Hebrew, psuche in Greek, was an offering for sin. Not his spirit, which would be ruach, but his soul. Verse 12 goes on to say, he hath poured out his soul, his nephesh, unto death. This is significant because according to Leviticus 17:11, the life of the soul, or the nephesh of the soul, is of the flesh and is in the blood. The blood makes atonement for the soul. In other words, The soulish life is in the blood, and it was the blood of Christ that was poured out, and his soul, his nephesh, suke, not his spirit, as an offering for sin. I wanted to make that clear because sometimes we think that Jesus died spirit, soul, and body, and that's not the case. He released his spirit to his Father. The part of him that died was his soul, mind, will, and emotions, and the flesh. Furthermore, the Son of Man came to give his life, or his suke soul, as a ransom for many, Matthew 20:28. His blood shed as a sin offering, that we may have life, zoe life, spirit life. We must lose our suke soul life on the cross, as Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," Matthew 16:24, in order to gain zoe, or spirit life. So how's your spirit life, spiritual life? Well, it's the only life we have a right to live. And it's the only life worth living. Don't let activity that is seemingly spiritual or non-spiritual try to determine your identity. Did you hear that? Don't let activity that is seemingly spiritual or non-spiritual try to determine your identity. You and I only have one life, and it is either spiritual or soulish, dependent upon who we are rather than what we are doing. Did you digest that one? Close your eyes and just take it in. How is your spiritual life? Well, it's the only life we have a right to live, and it's the only life worth living. Don't let activity that is seemingly spiritual or non-spiritual try to determine your identity. You and I only have one life, and it is either spiritual or soulish, dependent upon who we are rather than what we are doing. When your doings dictate that you are ungodly, it's the soulish part of you that he already paid for, that you are now to focus on. So let's go back now. Verse 15, even as truly as the Father knows me and I know also the Father, I am giving my very own life and laying it down on behalf of the sheep, not for himself. And I have other sheep besides these that are not of this fold. I must bring and impel those, notice again, impel those also, and they will listen to my voice and heed my call. And so there will be one flock under one shepherd. For this the Father loves me, because I lay down my own life to take it back again. 18. No one takes it away from me. Did you hear that? That's where Peter had a major issue. And the preconceived idea in Judas was that he would never be caught. How does that relate to the pumpkins in the patch? It's just as silly as those pumpkins. When that great pumpkin came in and said, "I'm the real heavenly God," the little one said, "No way. We want something different." Watch now. No one takes it away from me. On the contrary, I lay it down voluntarily. I put it from myself. I am authorized and have power to lay it down, to resign it. And I am authorized and have power to take it back again. These are the instruction orders which I have received as my charge from my Father. Now, what if that great pumpkin said, "I'm going to turn out and I'm going to become an incredible coach for Cinderella"? Which is when your visions, right? Don't make sense. Is it too big for God? I want you to ponder how we preconceive what the Savior was supposed to be. How the mind of man is no different than those crazy pumpkins in the patch. And when the heavenly one comes, they can't buy it. They can't take it. It doesn't make sense to them. Now keep on going. 19. Then a fresh vision of opinion arose among the Jews because of his saying these things. Did you hear that? A fresh division of opinion arose, etc. And many of them said, he has a demon and he is mad. Insane. He raves, he rambles. Why do you listen to him? Others argued, these are not the thoughts of and the language of one possessed. Can a demon-possessed person open blind eyes? After this, the feast of dedication of the reconsecration of the temple was taking place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch in the temple area. So the Jews surrounded him and began asking him, how long are you going to keep us in doubt and suspense? If you are really Christ, tell us plainly and openly. And Jesus answered them, I have told you so, yet you do not believe me. You do not trust me and rely on me. The very works that I do by the power of my Father and in my Father's name bear witness concerning me. They are my credentials and evidence in support of me. But you do not believe and trust and rely on me because you do not belong to my fold. Go back again. Verse 14. Know and recognize my own, and my own know and recognize me. 26. You do not believe and trust and rely on me because you do not belong to my fold. You are no sheep of mine. Talk about a preset situation. He's telling them off. They are the chosen people. They are the ones that should accept him, and yet they're so cotton pick and hard-headed, they can't take the news. Yes or no? Has anything changed?
No.
27. The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages. I love it. I love it. To all eternity, they shall never by any means be destroyed. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. No one. So where's all this fear creep up in us? Is it still unbelief that's still pushing our buttons? Are we still looking for a different kind of pumpkin to show up? I hope not. You're absolutely right. But the world is not looking for Jesus. They're looking for aliens. I had a gentleman who's in the religious realm, one of my painters. Oh, well, he says, you know, he says, I'm concerned about Area 51. I said, really? Wouldn't it be wise if you found out what happened there? He says, what do you mean? Area 51 is aliens. I says, Jesus was an alien because that's what they called him. He was a foreigner. He came from heaven. Yeah, but he says, I said, yeah, but if you were so nosy, you'd definitely knock on his door and ask him questions. He says, I am. I said, then ask him. And if you're nosy enough, he'll locate you.
And if you knock hard enough, he'll answer you.
Oh, he says, I don't know. That really concerns me. I said, well, if it concerns you enough, you'll get yourself a Bible and wake up. We'll see. 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater and mightier than all else, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
I'm going to quit there because I believe you got the message about the great pumpkin. He really came looking just like the rest of them. He was mightier, greater. He wanted to give them eternal life. They didn't want it.